Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this morning and to open your word. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2016, we began the study of the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And right now, we're looking at the lives of the disciples and kind of looking at each of their lives and finding some helpful lessons for our own discipleship. And today we're going to look at three different disciples: James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot. Let's begin today by reading from Matthew 10, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Have you ever heard the phrase, just Google it? Because you can find almost anything by just typing it in Google, and Google will find all the places that it's on the internet. Take, for example, Thomas Jefferson. Now, when I was a kid, you had to go into the library and look in a card catalog, and then you had to go find an encyclopedia and go over and pick it up. It was about 37 pounds, and you'd heave it up on the library table, and you'd open it up. And if you're writing a paper, you had to take notes. So you took index cards, and you would write one sentence per index card. And then you go to the next one, and if you wanted to write something word for word from the encyclopedia, then you had to quote it and write the title and the author and their social security number and their birth date. Now, you type in Thomas Jefferson on Google, and in 0.47 seconds, less than half a second, Google found me about, and they were careful to put the word about in case I went and counted every single entry, but there were about 80,300,000 results, articles, biographies, quotes, newspaper clippings, etc., at my fingertips in less than half a second. So guess what I did the other day? I Googled up my name, Shane Baker. Don't act like you've never done that before. Guess what I discovered? I looked at the first seven pages, each page having about 10 results, so about 70 results for the name Shane Baker. In those first 70 results, I found a Shane Baker who was Jewish, a photographer, CEO, doctor, actor, professional bull rider, tattoo artist, insurer, current football highlights from 2016, Tough Guy Award, MMA fighter, real estate agent, Iron Man, and my favorite, police ID well-dressed thief seen stealing from church. May 13, 2015, Shane Baker is a 26-year-old white male, 6 feet tall and 180 pounds. He has a tattoo on his neck reading Bunny's Son that he often covers. 70 different results, and guess where I was in the top 70 results? Nowhere to be found. And just like you couldn't find a whole lot about me on Google, you won't find a whole lot about these three disciples in the Bible. But read with me again Matthew chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, starting with James, son of Alphaeus. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. The first blank you come to today in your outline is these men were listed as disciples of Jesus. These three men, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, who is also goes by a few other names, he was called Judas, son of James in some places, and Judas, not Iscariot, in other places, and Simon the Zealot are each found listed as disciples of Jesus. And we don't get a lot of other information about these guys. Later we're going to see that Thaddeus is mentioned one time questioning Jesus, but other than that, there's not a lot about these three disciples. We know that James is the son of Alphaeus. That's about it. We learn that Thaddeus went by three different names and that one time he questioned Jesus. And we know that Simon was a zealot. And while the Bible doesn't talk specifically about Simon, there are things that we know about zealots. Zealots were very passionate about their faith. When their scriptures told them that God was the only God and that only He should be Lord of our life, they took that to mean that no other person or entity should be rule over the people of Israel. But at the time that this was written, the Romans were ruling over the people of Israel. And so the group known as the Zealots were, in fact, so passionate about their faith that they would go to battle against people, even to the point of killing if need be. They took their faith to the extreme. And maybe this is why Jesus chose Simon to show him the true way that God desires us to live, why He chose him as one of His disciples. And as we don't have a lot of specifics about these three men, other than that they were listed as disciples of Jesus, there is something that we can be certain of that we discover in our second set of blanks in our bulletin. These men lived with Jesus. In the account in Matthew 10, verses 1 through 5, we see the 12 disciples that Jesus chose. These men would give their entire lives, most of them anyway, to live with Jesus and then to spread His story after His death and resurrection. These men did life with Jesus. They were there when Jesus prayed. They were there when Jesus healed. They were there when Jesus preached. When Jesus was there, these men were there. Now note that one of the people that Jesus called to be His disciple was Matthew, who collected taxes for the Roman government. At one point in his life, Simon the Zealot would have surely been happy to kill Matthew. But through Jesus, they became spiritual brothers, working side by side for the same reason, to spread the gospel. Jesus has a way of bringing people together when they live with Him. I'm always amazed by all the people that I call my brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe for a long time that I would not know or associate with most of the people in my life if it weren't for Christ. I hang out and do life with doctors, police officers, farmers, businessmen and businesswomen, stay-at-home parents, state workers, and all of the rest of you because we know Jesus. Really, why else would our paths cross in this world? We do have one instance that we find recorded in John chapter 14, verse 22. Turn there with me. John chapter 14, verse 22. And in this passage, John calls Thaddeus by a couple of his other names, picking up in verse 22. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" You see, the disciples didn't fully understand that they were living their daily lives with Jesus so that when He was gone, they would take His message to the rest of the world. But they also didn't realize that it would cost them to share Jesus with the rest of the world. It would eventually cost them dearly. And that brings us to our third set of blanks in the bulletin. These men lost their lives for Jesus. Now, while you won't find the accounts of these men's death in the Bible, other fairly reliable resources tell the account of these men's death. All of their recorded deaths were a result of the continued spread of the gospel after Jesus had left them. They stuck with Him. They kept proclaiming His message. Now, some accounts say that James, son of Alphaeus, was stoned. Others say that he was beaten to death. But commonly accepted is that he was crucified in much the same way as Jesus was. Tradition says that Thaddeus was clubbed to death for his faith, and all accounts for Simon the Zealot say that he was killed for preaching the gospel. Oftentimes, we're worried about telling others about Jesus because we're afraid we might offend them, or they might not like us, or we might be rejected. Our feelings might get hurt. Our spirit might be crushed. But these disciples lived with Jesus, and they were willing to share with others about Him, regardless of the outcome. And on earth, it didn't end well for them. But now they're receiving all that Jesus promised them for their faithfulness to Him. And so we always have to ask, what does this mean for us in light of what we've learned about these men today? These three disciples, who barely get mentioned in the Bible, play a very substantial part in history. So what do we do? Number one, find Jesus. What does that mean? Before we go any further, we have to examine where we are in life with Jesus. We have to ask the question, each one of us individually, do I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, and is sitting at the right hand of God? Do I believe that or not? Because if I don't, the next two things won't mean much to you. But if you do, they'll be very significant in your life. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Number two, fight the good fight. Are you continually conscious of your life with Christ? Do you fight constantly to live for Christ in the way that Jesus would want you to live? Or do you live life however you want to live and then just use what Jesus did for you as a get-out-of-jail-free card? Oh God, I know what I just did was in direct violation of what the Bible says, but would you just forgive me and then I'll get back to you next time I need something? Oh God, I know that you tell me to love everyone, including those who are mean to me, but it's just a lot easier to talk about them behind their back. Oh God, I just need to let my friend know the gossip. Oops, I mean, what was going on so that they could be praying for that person. We, myself included, have to get serious about our faith. We have to fight the good fight. We have to live our lives daily in light of who Jesus is and what He did for us. We have to follow Jesus like it's the only thing that matters. We have to either believe it and live like we do or don't. Just don't. But if we do, then we need to, number three, finish well. A couple of weeks ago, I was reminded of a very harsh reality. When sin entered this world, so did death. And none of us are guaranteed when this life will be over. So it doesn't matter if you're 5 or 25, 55 or 85, you're in the process of finishing well. And that means that you live each moment as it may be your last. And you live for Christ, not yourself. Maybe you're in junior high and you're thinking, oh, I'll wait till high school to get serious about my faith. Maybe you're in high school and you're thinking, oh, I'll just wait until I'm in college, then I'll get serious about my faith. Maybe you're living life for all that life has to offer and you're thinking, I'll get serious about my faith when I retire. Or maybe you're retired and you're thinking, I served the Lord all my life and I just want a break, and we'll let these younger people serve Christ. If you're a follower of Christ and you've made the commitment to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, or even if you haven't, your life could end at any moment. And so I pose this question, are you finishing well? Paul said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Are you keeping the faith? Are you finishing the race well? These past several weeks, we've been studying the lives of the disciples of Jesus. However, if we look at the Bible as a whole, not much written about these guys. And even when they are being talked about, the focus is not on them. The focus was always on Jesus. In the book, 12 Ordinary Men by John MacArthur, he says, it is enough to know that they were chosen by the Lord, empowered by the Spirit, and used by God to carry the gospel of the world to their day. Scripture always keeps the focus on the power of Christ and the power of the Word, not the men who were merely instruments of that power. These men were filled with the Spirit, and they preached the Word. That's all we really need to know. The vessel is not the issue. The Master is. Let's stand, I'll pray, and we'll sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You today. Lord, we thank You for these men whose names You have placed in Your Word. Lord, we know that they are significant in a way because you placed them here for us to read about their lives. And Lord, while we don't have a lot of specifics about these three, we did learn a few things about them. Lord, I pray the things that we learn will inspire us, will allow us to change our lives in a way that we would live for you constantly, every moment of our life. Lord, that we wouldn't think that we're almost there, that we can let up a little bit, because your message needs to reach a lot more people. And I pray that you would use each one of us, whatever our gifts are, whatever our talents are, whatever our abilities are. Lord, whatever you have given us the ability to do, I pray that we would use that in a way that would bring glory to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not the words that I said, or the sermon that I preached, or even the words that you heard this morning. The issue is the Master. And today the Master is calling you the same way that he called James and Thaddeus and Simon. Come, follow me. The difference is you already know what Jesus did for you. How he gave his life for you so that you could spend forever in heaven. So would you come forward today and give your life to him as we sing?